Journalist Robin Wright has reported from more than 140 countries in her career. She most recently covered foreign policy for The Washington Post. Her latest book, Dreams and Shadows, The Future of the Middle East, has just been published in paperback. WMNF spoke with her yesterday and asked her about U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's announcement that two top State Department officials will soon travel to Damascus to hold a series of meetings with Syrian officials this week. This comes after Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has lobbied Washington to engage Syria.
Well, the administration is clearly trying to reach out to some of the countries we've ignored for the last 8 years. The Secretary of State announced two emissaries will be going to Damascus to talk to the regime of Bashar Assad to see if the Syrians are willing to engage with the United States again at a higher level and if it's willing to move forward on the peace process. That's probably the more viable option right now, given the fact that the Palestinians are so deeply divided on both Israel's right to exist and the use of violence. So that's one avenue the U.S. is clearly trying to pursue. The second is an outreach to Iran to see, after 30 years, whether it's possible to engage with Tehran again. This is, in some ways, the trickiest of the diplomatic initiatives likely to emerge from the administration in that part of the world, because Iran is today the superpower of the region. By eliminating the Saddam Hussein in Iraq and the Taliban in Afghanistan, Iran is in a much stronger position in terms of its own security, and it may not feel it needs the United States as much as it might have in earlier years. Secretary of State Clinton said this week that she was doubtful that Iran would respond in the way the U.S. wants to an initiative from Washington, but it's clear that the Obama administration wants to at least see if anything is possible.
Let me stay with Syria for a moment. I know right now, beginning there, the International Tribunal is trying to look at, again, who assassinated former Lebanese Prime Minister al-Hariri back in 2005. This is officially opened in The Hague. This, of course, happened 4 years ago, and there's been some close links made in the media about involvement by Syria at some of their highest levels there. Have you looked at this at all? Do you think that we might see real justice with this tribunal and what might come out of that?
It's clear that the Syrians want this tribunal to end. They are very nervous that it's going to lead to some kind of adjudication against senior members of the government, including even members of the ruling family. And there's been enormous pressure. Syria has tried to indicate that any progress on Israel or progress with the United States would kind of depend on what happens with the tribunal. But the United States, under the Obama administration and under the Bush administration, has taken a similar line in saying that this is very important in following through and making sure there is justice for the assassination, very brutal car bombing of former Prime Minister Hariri and 19 of his associates.
You mentioned also Iran a moment ago, and there's been a lot of back and forth about their nuclear intentions. But let me ask you this, quite frankly, Robin Wright, and that is, why wouldn't Iran want to have a bomb? I mean, certainly Israel has one in the region. We're told that if Iran does get one, that this will somehow set off a potential nuclear arms race in the Middle East. But they never seem to explain why it wouldn't be in their best interest not to have one.
Well, I think the problem with Iran's nuclear program is that our intelligence really isn't sure what Iran has. We know it has that it is enriching uranium for a peaceful nuclear energy program, but that fissile material can also be used or subverted to make the world's deadliest weapon. We believe, according to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff over the weekend, that Iran is developing enough low-grade uranium that it could be used for a bomb, but it has to first be highly enriched. In its current state, it can't be used. The question is, does Iran have the capability to then weaponize it? It's not just an issue of having the fuel cycle. And those are questions we don't have adequate answers for yet. All the intelligence estimates believe Iran is working on a nuclear capability. Of course, we got it wrong with Iraq. Who knows whether we're getting it right with Iran? And the estimates say that between the end of this year and 2015, Iran may have the capability to develop a weapon. And that's made everyone in the region very nervous because of, as you pointed out, the issue of an arms race. If Iran has something, does that mean the Saudis and others go after a nuclear weapons program? That would change the dynamics of of the arms race in ways that we've never experienced. But it also then changes the dynamics of who might go to war against other parties, and it makes Israel particularly very nervous. And if the United States is not able to convince Iran to cooperate with the international community, Israel has indicated that it might take action into its own hands. So this changes everything.
And, of course, there's going to be an election in Iran in just a few months' time. We've got, of course, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad running for re-election, and one of the candidates against him is going to be the former president of Iran, the considered much more enlightened Mohammad Khatami. What do you make of what's going to happen there?
Well, it's going to be a very interesting race, and I think one of the most interesting parts of it is that the economy is the primary issue, not just because of the global economic crisis, but because the price of oil has plummeted from over $146 a barrel to around $40. And Iran budgets on the basis of $80 or $90 a barrel. So it's lost an extraordinary amount of its income. And at the same time, President Ahmadinejad has come under criticism for mismanaging the economy. He's had open fights with members of his own cabinet to the point that he's fired six cabinet ministers with economic portfolios and two governors of the central bank over their different visions. The price of produce has reportedly tripled. The price of housing doubled during his administration. And so this could be a very interesting race.